Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning. Good morning.
Seth Havager.
Good morning.
And we're here to have a good time with all of you. Call up 424-2600. Feel free to join the conversation with anything we're talking about today. Or you want to bring it back to an older conversation, that's fine too.
Last month, doesn't matter.
Yeah, we got a couple of floating topics out there
that
we'd love to hear from you about. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a moment here. But a little later after that, before Melissa's news, what's the weirdest lie you were told as a kid?
Okay.
That one's coming up, everybody.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Let's start right here, though. And I don't know if many people saw this or not, but let me just state right now to the public, to society in general, don't you mess with Drew Barrymore. you leave Drew Barrymore alone.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Drew Barrymore was rushed off the stage during an event at a theater in New York on Monday thanks to some weird guy in the audience. She was having a conversation with actress and singer Renee Rapp when the guy came down in the aisle and shouted Drew's name. If you watch the video, it is freaky weird.
Mm.
And I think any of us that survived through Monica Seles or certain other incidents where fans acting foolish and being crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
This guy starts... So Drew handles it perfectly at first. She was shocked, but the guy starts shouting at her and say, hey, yes, I know you and stuff. And she's just playing because it's dead quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts shouting. And then she's like, oh, God, oh, my God, yes, hi. And she plays it off really good, and then she tries to go back to the interview. This guy thinks he's being interviewed or a conversation has begun.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts talking to her as he's walking down the aisle. I want to send a job. I don't know. I want to be honest with you guys. I don't know who Renee is. This is the first I've heard of her. Maybe I've heard of her in passing and just didn't know. But I'm a huge fan because this lady immediately, before the security team even could react, she starts ushering Drew off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
She gets what's going on. She understands, but even more than Drew does. And Drew is just, part of the reason what we love about her is that she is very in the moment, and she is a very genuine human being. I don't think she sees the negative in things. I don't think she sees the negative in people very much, and that is saying something with everything that woman has been through.
Right, right. The possible danger of the situation, right?
I think that she has I don't want to say a naiveness to it or anything like that. I think, I don't know what's in her head or heart, but her reaction tells me a lot of that. And just a shout out to this Renee person in that security team. Thank goodness nothing bad happened there. That is tense.
Very tense. It's kind of scary.
Thankfully, everything was all right, but it did remind, like, immediately, and it's two very different worlds, but for some reason, immediately made me think of Monica Seles. And maybe in part because I was a big Monica Seles fan. And for those who don't know the reference, Monica Seles, famous tennis player, she's sitting down after a match, and a fan stabs her in the shoulder.
Literally jumps out and stabs her, yeah.
Yeah, and ruins her whole career. Ruins her, in some way, ruined her life and everything. These kind of things, these are not, this is the thing, though, about this, though, that I think is very important with this subject, because this guy, that guy I was just talking about, we call them crazy fans. These are not fans. These are people who have there's something wrong upstairs.
Yeah.
This is a mental disorder.
Yeah.
This is something and that's not to give them their fault. It's just, these are facts. We got to bring it all to the table nowadays.
Right.
Everything's got to be counted here.
Yeah, they're still responsible for their actions, of course.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have to understand that this is not normal behavior.
Right, right.
This is something that's a little bit past that, or even greatly past that, in terms of Monica Seles. But yeah, so we have to keep that all in mind.
Right, because how many people were in that audience?
Lot of people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is not a normal way to act during when you're watching a performance.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's get into this one right here also, because not a ton on there for entertainment, and we don't get to do this very often, so we're going to kind of stretch our legs and have fun with the topic.
Ooh, okay.
Someone at uprocks.com took on the task of ranking the top 50 soundtrack albums of all time.
Ooh. Oh, my.
Whoa. That's a task.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I bring this up is a little selfish promotion. I have been working on a show for about a year, unlabeled. It is your 90s mixtape.
Yes.
It is going to be a show that I've gotten the green light from Chuck and Seth on about producing and helping work and working on, where it's just going to be an hour of 90s songs.
Woohoo.
Nice.
Anything in the 90s. If it came out between 1990 and 1999, we are going to play it.
Yes, indeed.
R&B, hip-hop, alternative, country, it'll all be played if it came out in that era.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing this, I've been, collecting music, obviously. I've been going through it and building this. And I've created about 7 episodes so far. Just haven't produced them yet.
Yep.
But I've got them written out and all the songs and everything lined up. I got to tell you guys this because I think this is too good. I'm going to give you a spoiler right here.
Ooh.
The first episode, we're going from Smells Like Teen Spirit to Regulate. Just to give you an idea of how this is going to go.
The range.
There you go. That's a good range.
But in doing this, I discovered that, and I will stand on this hill, I believe that the 90s were the greatest era for soundtracks. The 80s were huge, and you don't have the 90s without the 80s. The 80s were huge for soundtracks.
Built it up.
Yeah, Kenny Loggins had a career because of soundtracks, mm-hmm. basically, after Loggins and Messina. Mm-hmm. But the 90s perfected it. So much so to the point where there was a movie, Eddie, starring Whoopi Goldberg as, like, I think she was the coach of a basketball team or something.
Yes.
The soundtrack was huge. The soundtrack had a couple of, like, just bangers on it. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know anybody that ever saw that movie.
I was going to say, I think it was a flop, too, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Whoopi Goldberg never even saw that movie. But in the 80s, you would have soundtracks that did better than mm-hmm. movies, but they had to be kind of hand in hand. You had to have a little bit of
like a Top Gun or something like that.
Yeah.
Big hit movie, too, yeah.
Whereas in the 90s, it was almost like they focused on the soundtrack more than the movie sometimes.
It did seem that way.
So I've just been through a lot of this. I've been mm-hmm. listening to a lot of soundtrack music for the last couple of months, and I thought this would be a fun kind of thing to be able to
do.
And we go through this list. So let's go ahead and start at number 10.
That's, yeah.
And this is going to give you a good example, I think, too, of the range here.
Okay.
A Hard Day's Night from 1964, the Beatles classic.
Yeah, that's probably a no-brainer. Although that movie was excellent as well. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah. But a great movie.
Yep.
I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it holds up. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but I remember loving that movie.
It's a great slice of not only the Beatles, but of that time. In Britain, and that's what makes it so much fun. It kind of just tells 64 mm-hmm. in Britain. This is what was going on. It's really cool.
Trainspotting from 1996.
Mm,
yeah,
that's a good one.
This one had Underworld on it, Joy Division, Primal Scream,
wow.
a lot of that kind of bands. But it had, more importantly, David Bowie's Golden Years was on this.
Mm.
Maybe more importantly, had Iggy Pop on here, and of course, A Lust for Life, which during the trailer for that movie, it really helped bring the movie up to the fold.
Love that song.
Maybe more importantly, brought the world to Ewan McGregor.
That's most importantly, yes.
Most importantly.
Big one right here, the Dazed and Confused soundtrack from 1993.
Mm-hmm.
A huge soundtrack.
That was a big one.
Yeah, that was pretty very popular.
And that's considered kind of a of its era movie too. Kind mm-hmm. of a like this is what's going on in 1993 kind of thing.
Well, it's got Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, that's
Ben
true.
Affleck.
One of his big breaks. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the track list for this: Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, Slow Ride, School's Out, Tush, Love Hurts, Stranglehold, Cherry Bomb, Fox on the Run, Low Rider, Tuesday's Gone. Basically, everything I played in an hour on my old classic rock days.
Oh, there you go. It's all there.
It's literally all there. I mean, we really could have saved some time.
Yeah.
I just played the Dazed and Confused soundtrack every day. I mean, I don't know what we were doing. That's a good one.
That's awesome.
It's a pretty popular one right there. How about the American Graffiti soundtrack from 1973?
Oh, that was huge. That was huge. And that's another very classic movie as well. But that's kind of restarted the 50s rock boom of the mid-70s. That was kind of the thing that kicked it off.
So we've had this conversation before. I believe Urban Cowboy was the movie that really set this into motion,
mm-hmm.
that really got this where we are today, where soundtracks are almost as much time and money is put into the soundtrack as is the score or the movie itself.
Right.
But I may have been off on that. it may have been American Graffiti that really mm-hmm. did this.
Because that was in 75, I think. So, yeah, that would have done it. So,
and you guys, there's like literally like 50 songs on this.
It's huge.
Like,
yeah.
It's gigantic. And if you can think of it, if it was a hit in the 50s, it's on there. At the Hop, The Stroll, The Great Impersonator, The Great Imposter, The Great Pretender, Barbara Ann, Teen Angel, Runaway. Mm-hmm. Like almost every hit is on this list.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. very cool.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights soundtrack from 1997.
I'm guessing that had lots of 70s, classic 70s music in it as well, considering when it takes place.
Got to Give It Up from Marvin Gaye, one of my favorite songs. Sister Christian from Night Ranger, of course, with the famous scene. Some more War, Walter Egan. You got a bunch of that. The Commodores. Yep. The Commodores are on there.
Can't not have the Commodores.
I am a big fan of this movie, even though it probably doesn't hold up. and the soundtrack, Superfly. Superfly soundtrack from 1972. You, of course, got the Superfly, Little Child Running Wild, Eddie Should Know Better. Most importantly, Curtis Mayfield.
It's all about Curtis Mayfield.
It's all about Curtis Mayfield.
In fact, you could, I'm sure the movie's fine, and you're probably right. It hasn't aged very well, but man, Curtis Mayfield, that music is eternal.
Anything Curtis Mayfield ever touched was eternal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So this next one comes in the top five, and it's number four on the list. It's also in my top five of soundtracks of all time.
Ooh.
The Singles soundtrack from 1992. This was a big soundtrack, not only to me, but our generation.
Yep.
Down from the Smashing Pumpkins, maybe my favorite Smashing Pumpkins song was on it. Wood from Alice in Chains, gigantic song. Nearly Lost You from the Screaming Trees, honorable mention. It's a good one. Breathe from Pearl Jam. Dyslexic Heart from Paul Westenberg. One of his most underrated songs is on there. May This Be Love from Jimi Hendrix. A very Seattle-based movie, so they very much focused on Seattle bands.
Except for Paul Westerberg from Minnesota.
Yeah.
I have to make sure I put that in there.
Get that in there. The Battle of Evermore from the Love Mongers. You may not know that band, but I guarantee you know the Ladies of Heart.
Yes.
And that's who sing it. So you have the Ladies of Heart singing a Led Zeppelin song, The Battle of Evermore. And while I love the Zeppelin version of that song, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about the first time I heard that version.
Mm-hmm.
That version, people, is the version to hear of Battle of Evermore. It's so good. A lot of people, though, because first off, Chris Cornell doing Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite song he ever did. Easily my favorite song Chris Cornell ever did. If you listen to, you want to know the singing range of Chris Cornell and his songwriting prowess, listen to Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe most importantly, most people had not heard of a little band called Mother Love Bone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're integral in this telling of the in Seattle sound.
Yeah, the quote-unquote grunge sound. Yeah,
you can't tell that story without mentioning Mother Love Bone.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe Dancer, Crown of Thorns is on that soundtrack. And for a lot of us, that's the first time we hear Mother Love Bone and set us off like, well, who's this? I got to listen to this this band and check them out and everything.
Right.
So I think that's another great thing about soundtracks that they can do is springboard not only a career, but a fan base.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Exactly.
It's this magical way of being able to put yourself out there without putting yourself out there. It's not about you. It's about the movie.
Exactly.
But if things work out, it becomes,
if it hits, it hits. Yeah, exactly.
The next soundtrack on the list coming in at number three from 1994, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. That's a
classic.
Good one.
I would have to say using music in films, Quentin Tarantino is one of the better ones out there of picking good songs for scenes. Yep.
I will say I think that the master of this is Martin Scorsese.
I agree.
And always will be. I will use the ending of Layla and Goodfellas as my example for eternity.
Because I can't listen to that without thinking of the movie.
You can't do it. But I will say honorable mention is movies like this, like mm-hmm. Pulp Fiction and that. In part because one of the things now, you got Al Green, Let's Stay Together, you Son of a Preacher Man. One of the best covers of my that I will ever hear, Urge Overkill doing Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Easily top five covers of all time for me.
It's the best thing they ever did.
It really is. Cool and the Gang is on there. But the thing that I loved about it was a sneaky thing that I think every single soundtrack in history should do that they don't. in between the songs, you've got some of the dialogue.
A little
from
bit
the
of dialogue, yeah.
That, you know, you have Samuel Jackson's Ezekiel speech in there. And as somebody who nowadays, if I want to pull sound from something, I can do it. Like, there's nothing I can't pull sound from nowadays.
Right, yep.
But
right.
back then, you couldn't do that.
Yep.
So having this on CD as a young actor, oh, man. Oh. I listen to those more than I listen to the music. I would re-listen and impersonate him and try to do them and listen to and dissect them. And what was Samuel doing in this? Where he took his breaths, where he took his breaks, that kind of thing. I loved that stuff. That, to me, was part of what made that album so iconic, that soundtrack. And the top two, I think, are pretty, like, I think you could scream them at your radio right now and get them right. And I don't know if you really, one or two, I don't think it really matters who's at number one, who's at number two. And number two is Saturday Night Fever from 1977.
Oh, yeah. Gigantic.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you like the music. It's just a matter of the iconicness of it.
Yeah.
Like, you can go ahead and say, oh, I hated that movie or I hated that soundtrack. You know it. You know what we're talking about. Like, I was born in 77, and I know what we're talking about here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so that tells you right there all you need to know.
If you've ever heard Stayin' Alive, I mean, that's, you may hate it, but like you said, James, it's there. You can't help it.
There's not many albums that really springboard a band that you can go back in time and look at like that.
Or a whole genre for that matter, with disco in 1977. That hit the hit it at its peak. So, yeah.
That's a good point. Melissa,
Don't buy another pair of glasses.
Sorry about that. I apologize for that. So, Melissa, any soundtrack, any honorable mentions or any soundtracks for you that you can think of? I know that you aren't as big of a movie nerd as some of us are and stuff. So, over the years, has there been any that stood out to you?
The one I mentioned last time we talked about movie soundtracks, Mona Lisa Smile, is my absolute favorite.
That's right.
Because it's got Elton John, Alison Krauss, Barbara Streisand, Celine Dion, Tori Amos. I mean, Seal.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. I think it's a great conglomeration of artists coming together.
Mm-hmm. I would say the Above the Rim soundtrack is one of my favorites. It's got like just hip-hop legends all over it, along with R&B legends and everything. That was one of my all-time favorites.
I got one to throw in there. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
Soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one,
That's
too.
A fabulous soundtrack, yeah.
I think it's an upset it's not in the top 10.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
That is an iconic album. I still listen to that one. Almost Famous.
That's a good one. Yeah,
mention. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. I think is honorable.
It was very popular too. Yeah.
Yeah, those are good ones. But
And for the kids, Trolls.
Oh yeah, that's good reference.
There you go.
Good reference. But coming in at number one on the list from 1984, Prince's Purple Rain. And I think you'd be okay with putting Saturday Night Fever number one, or even some of these like Pulp Fiction or something like that, but this should be number one.
Yeah.
I never meant to call you when you sorrow. I never meant to call you when you pain.
It's eternal. It is eternal. I don't know. That whole album still holds up.
And the movie in the end might be forgettable, but the soundtrack, I mean, it's one of the greatest albums ever created.
Not as forgettable as Under the Cherry Moon. But forgettable, but a little bit. We're going to take a break, everybody. We'll be back with more on WFHR. Okay. I thought Purple Rain might pop up in the bumpers. I thought, knowing my luck, it'll pop right up or something. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show on WFHR. We hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday out there, everybody. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. After Melissa's news, we're going to get into what's the weirdest lie you were told as a kid? We'll get into that one in a little bit. But we got a viral hack to talk about right now that claims mosquitoes hate bubble guns.
Okay.
We've seen posts as far back as 2011 claiming it's true, so is it? The answer is probably not.
Probably not.
One part of the claim is they hate soap, but someone asked a bug expert who said that a bug solution itself doesn't matter. Mosquitoes are drawn to things with a floral scent.
Oh.
So if the bubbles are scented, it could actually attract more of them to you.
Oops.
Especially,
backfire.
Has anybody in human history ever used bubbles, like the liquid for bubbles, and not gotten some of it on you?
Seriously, yeah.
You get it on your hands, you get it on something. Mm-hmm. So this could really have the reverse effect that you're looking
yeah.
for.
And then you're sticky, too.
Yeah, right? If anything, the wind created by a bubble gun might discourage them from getting too close because they're not strong flyers, but the fans in those things are pretty weak, so any normal fan would probably do just as fine.
Right, right.
In theory, the buttman, in theory, it should be on my tombstone. I feel like I say that more than anything.
In theory.
In theory, the bubbles could keep mosquitoes at bay by creating obstacles for them to fly around. But there's not much evidence for that either. So what should you do instead? Their top tip is wear bug spray. Same thing we've been doing since the 50s.
We come back to the same things over and over. It works.
Use the product as they're intended.
Yeah, and it works. It's worked for a long time.
I genuinely mm-hmm. think one of the more fascinating things going forward here in society is how we have these certain things where we just keep updating them. We go from vinyl to 8-tracks to cassettes to CDs to MP3s to pretty soon we're just going to think the music and download it that way. You know, that kind of thing. But we still are changing a tire the same way.
Yep.
We have not changed that one bit.
No.
One bit.
Well, and you know, the whole better mousetrap thing is hilarious because mousetraps haven't changed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're you can get all different
kinds. Yes, right.
But I don't know if any of them are as effective as the original mousetrap. Yeah, honestly don't know.
While we keep updating and reworking and reimagining certain things, there's other stuff that just is tried and true, and we really haven't been able to improve on it.
Yep.
Bug spray is one of these things, it turns out.
And people are buying vinyl again.
Yes,
so, you know,
yeah.
It's a big circle.
Yeah.
And that there are healthier, you know, versus. There are alternatives to bug spray if you don't want to use DEET or if you don't want to use, mm-hmm. you know, the spray that you can use essential oils. You can use other methods, but bug deterrence.
That's not an easy
one. That's a deterrent.
Deterrence don't include soap bubbles.
No, not detergents. Deterrence.
Exactly.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. I got to end on that one. We're taking a break right there. Melissa's news coming up, and after that, we're going to get into the lies that we were told as children.
Get ready.
And get ready to chime in and bring us your feedback on that one. 424-2600, mm-hmm. everybody. But for right now, how would you like to go to the Central Wisconsin State Fair?
I would. Oh, wait, I am going.
I am. Yeah. I'm going today.
We want you to win these tickets so you can go down there and meet Melissa and hang out with her and Pam
get some
and
shirts.
Jorge and get mm-hmm. some shirts. We are at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. Encourage you to come on by, say hi. We'll have a booth there. If you're one of the first 10 people to say you heard us talking about this, well, you get a shirt, right, Mel?
Shirts.
Yep. Shirts, two of them.
Mm-hmm. New logos.
One from each station.
Stop by the Truth Booth. Let us get to know you a little bit more. Have some fun with that. And get yourself
a
new shirt.
Potentially win a night stay at the Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells.
How cool is that?
Just for sharing your story.
Nice.
Very cool. And along with all that, we're even making it easier for you even then. All you got to do is drive there. We're going to pay for mm-hmm. your tickets.
Yeah.
Got two of them right here. If you want to go, 424-2600, call up. And I'd love a fair memory. I'd love a memory of the fair. Now, if this is your first year going, just tell us that and you can make memories.
Hey, that's nice. I like that.
But otherwise, I would love a good fair memory. Mm-hmm. We'd love that. 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Get yourself two tickets to the Central Wisconsin State Fair right now.
All right.
We'll get to Melissa's news and we'll come back and with a winner and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Little Echo and the Bunnymen playing us in. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there, everybody. Still, this is a great name for a band.
Yes.
If you're going to be an emo band, calling yourself the Echo and the Bunnymen is a great name.
That's right.
Well, let's get into some interesting stuff here about who lied to us as children.
Everyone. They all lied to us.
Yes. What's the weirdest lie you were told as a kid? One of the interesting privileges of being a parent is messing with your kids. I'm joking. I'm just kidding.
When they get to a certain age, absolutely.
Yes.
Don't apologize.
There are certain things, though. There is a little truth in that.
There is.
Good jokes. There's a little truth in there. And there are certain things. Like, there's... And look, if you're a parent out there with kids at home right now, earmuffs, all right? This whole topic here, earmuffs.
We got to make sure, we'll be careful here. Stuff.
Okay, kids out of the room, all right? Okay, let's get going. So certain things that maybe bring you things as a child.
Right, yeah.
You know, might have been told
mythical
to us.
Yeah, characters, yeah. Right?
Growing up, I wasn't told those things.
Mm-hmm.
The closest was maybe the Tooth Fairy. And even that was kind of like, you know, I saw my dad doing it, you know? So a little like that.
Kind of ruined the illusion, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah. So I think it starts, if not starts, it ends there. But then there are things that you say or do because you were told them. And you just kind of trust your elders and trust that, well, hey, they wouldn't tell me this if it didn't happen, right?
Right.
So let's get into some of these. Babies eventually lose their baby arms and their adult arms grow in.
Whoa.
That's pretty big.
That you're going to lose your arms? That's a horrible thing to tell a child.
Horrible. It's horrible, but we also are the same ones that were ring around the rosy or...
London Bridge is falling down.
That whole thing. Something based on the plagues, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
There were reasons for that at the time.
That's true.
What about the one with the... I can't think of it. The rocking in a tree.
Oh, Rockabye Baby.
Yeah. Rockabye Baby. Mm-hmm. Like, as a little
bow
kid...
Breaks.
The cradle will drop.
Scare the living daylights out of you, man. How about 11 months out of the year, the Easter Bunny lives on Easter Island?
Why not?
Why not?
Not many people. I'm not sure what the whole statue thing is with him, but you know.
This is the kind of parent I was, where I wouldn't. I did not want to lie to my kids, but I could not resist a good story.
Right.
I could not resist it. That knowing algebra would come in handy someday.
That's de rigueur, though. You got to tell them that.
You have to.
It's going to come in handy someday.
Your blood is blue inside your body. It only turns red when exposed to oxygen. A lot of adults still believe
that. I think
this
a lot
too.
Of adults still believe yes, that, yes.
Yeah. That's actually, this is getting more into the line of what I was thinking when doing this article, because I did not look ahead on this.
Okay.
So that's more of what I was thinking we were going to be going along. The old wise tales kind of thing.
That's right, which we love.
The term going commando means driving with your windows down.
I've never heard that one before, but I like that.
Not exactly.
I'm going commando. Excuse me?
If you can't tell, a lot of people chimed in and added their personal ones here and everything. So I think we're getting a little more personal ones global ones, which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All lizards are named Russell because they make a rustling sound when they are in the bushes.
It gets really confusing at conventions, man. Yes, it gets really super does. Confusing.
Yes. Russell? Yes, Russell. Oh, nice to meet you, Russell.
Russell, you've left your car lights on in the parking lot.
Russell.
You have left it. Is it me?
They all go outside.
Yeah. That is similar to, I think, a lot of kids. I didn't hear this one, but I know kids that heard growing up, all cats are female, all dogs are male. I've heard that one. I've heard people being told that.
Vaguely remember something like that.
How about
That's
this?
Not how that works, people. At least not with cats and dogs.
No.
Snails.
There you go.
Flatworms.
I've never heard this one, but I kind of wish I was. Moths are the ghosts of butterflies.
I like that.
I kind of like that.
They do kind of look ghost-like, right?
Mm-hmm. And they only fly around at night.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
wow,
yeah.
Good point.
Nice. Maybe. Wait a minute. Is this true? Wait. Hold on.
Have we studied this enough?
Yeah. The number one on this list, the waves at the beach are made by whales. I like that one, too.
I like that one, too.
Yeah,
getting
together,
the whales. This is how they party. They make waves, man.
How about, what I want to get into, again, 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. And we'll keep this one going throughout the week here. I want to know more of the ones, like the old wise tales, like driving with the dome light on is illegal. Remember that? Remember,
oh my
like,
god!
Remember how much you'd freak out if somebody like it turned on the dome light in the car? Like, oh yeah,
not while I'm driving.
Like you were driving around with like 50,000 illegal things in your car. Like you reacted the way. Or a big one: gum stays in your stomach for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everyone was told that.
I think everyone
that
was told
watermelon
that.
Watermelon seeds. Watermelon will grow there.
Yeah.
Just for those that are still wondering about that one, not true. This probably comes from the fact that bodies don't digest gum well, but that this doesn't mean that a pile of swallowed gum is just filling your intestine or anything. According to the Yale Scientific, they have confirmed that while it does take slightly longer than other food to digest, gum will be out of your body in 7 days at most. At most.
I love the fact that it's gotten to the point where they had to actually do a study on it.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it doesn't stay in there forever.
Do not go swimming an hour. You have to wait an hour until after you're eating to go swimming.
Yes, heard that a lot.
Lies!
Mm-hmm. Nothing but lies!
Liar! The story went that the body sent blood to your stomach and away from your limbs while it digested food as such, and your limbs would grow tired more quickly, so you couldn't be out there swimming. There is a little bit of truth to this with the cramping. There is, but the Mayo Clinic did a study on this, and as they have confirmed that there is absolutely no scientific basis for this theory, eat whatever you want and hop right into the water.
You're fine. You're good.
And this one is for my mother.
Uh-oh.
My wonderful, amazing Jewish mother, who is the strongest, smartest human being I've ever known in my life, and who is currently doing an amazing job rehealing from hip hurt surgery.
Nice, nice.
Cracking your knuckles will give you arthritis. Literally my whole dang life, this woman has been telling me this. And I will say up until probably, I don't care if I sound foolish here or not, I'd say up until about 13, 14, I did not question this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tell. You have never seen me angry. Not you guys, not the audience, none of you. I have a different level with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting there if I'm cracking my knuckles.
Oh, okay.
And so my mother and I debated a lot growing up. It was a big thing in our family. Not fought, debated.
Right.
We feel differently about different things and stuff. And I grew up seeing her and my grandfather doing this, so I wanted to be a part of that. Sure enough, we'd be in the middle of this heated debate, and I start cracking my knuckles. Jimmy, don't do that. You're going to get arthritis. And it would just send me on a whole other tangent and anger about that and everything.
Wait. You were intrigued by disagreeing with people. I'm still stuck on that.
Yes.
No wonder you're in radio.
You know,
jeez.
The reason she said that is because she just doesn't like the sound.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
But she can't say that. Like
no.
That just
no.
Which nope. Well, if you could do like my dad did. Okay. His thing, snapping gum. Hates it.
Yeah.
So especially if it was in the car on a trip or something, it would just drive him crazy. But he didn't say, you know, if you snap gum, it's going to make your teeth fall out.
Right, right.
Yeah. He just said, stop it. That annoys me.
Yeah. To Seth's point, I remember I can't, I don't have a lot of pet peeves. If I have one, I hate the sound of people chewing. I hate the sound of people eating.
Oh, really?
It aggravates me. Because not so much like I'm sitting down having dinner with somebody. I expect to hear it then.
Right.
On the radio, in movies, and commercials. Nobody in human history has ever wanted to hear that. Unless you're in that ASMR or something like that, then that's a whole different category.
That's your job, yeah.
That's a whole different thing. With this, no. Nobody wants to hear that. I hear that with my kids. I tried to tell them, hey, you know, guys, I really don't like the sound of that and everything. So what did my children do? Smack, smack, smack.
Oh, yeah.
Really loud. Because they're my kids. So, of course, if I tell them,
that bothers you? Oh,
yeah.
Thank you for that.
So let me do it times 10.
So to your guys' point about why my mom would make this up and everything, I get it. Because if she had told me, Jimmy, I don't like the sound of that. Well,
then it would be like Rice Krispies, man.
Knowing me, that's probably how I would have done it. But thanks to the experts at Harvard, they conducted several studies that compared arthritis rates among people who never cracked their knuckles and those who had done it habitually for years. And there is no truth to this. Minimum. Tiniest, they have seen tiniest little bits of this, possibly, but even that they weren't able to trace necessarily to cracking knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
They even did this to a point where they had people for years crack one hand, like their left hand and not their right or something like that.
Oh, that's fascinating. Wow.
Yeah,
interesting study.
And still, no evidence of this.
No evidence. Liars,
yeah,
nothing
but
lies.
Yeah, my dad always told me when I was a kid, you're just disturbing the fluid between your knuckles. You're fine.
You're fine.
Any of these you guys can remember? Any that you were told?
You know, I'm trying to think. A lot of them we've already gone over. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing all of those, but I can't think off the top of my head of one that like a constant one that was repeated over and over, like your knuckle thing there.
Boy, I don't know why, but this is my wheelhouse apparently. You make that face, it's going to stay there.
Yeah.
You make that face, it's going to stay there.
Yeah. See, now this one I don't know. I think we may have to look this one up. So this one might be true. If you read in low light, it's going to hurt your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Or try to read in the dark kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard that a lot. Kind of thing.
I think I've read that there isn't truth to it. It can cause eye strain, but
right.
It's not going to
make your eyes
sight
tired, right?
Worse.
Yeah, but
right.
It's not going to be make your eyes terrible. Yeah.
What's worse is staying focused on a like computer screen for long periods of time. It's good to give yourself breaks, like look up and focus on something far away for a few seconds, and then look back at your screen and keep going.
There you go.
Speaking of screens, watching TV too close to the screen going to damage your eyes.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one, too. Yeah.
I remember my grandma coming over and getting in front of us 3 feet away, and she'd, like, physically walk us away from the television, stepping, and so we'd have to back up.
Now, to be fair to people, back the TVs back in the day were cathode ray tubes, which makes it sound like there's radiation, So it's like, oh, my God, radiation. First of all, the TVs we have today, different technology doesn't have that anymore. So, but now TVs are so big, if you get too close, you can't see everything. So you have to keep your distance. Otherwise, you're going to miss half the show.
And I didn't think about this going into the conversation, but is there anybody out there that's a little melancholy talking about this? Because I don't know if this exists anymore. If this, the same scenario, I'm in this era and my mom does this to me, Jimmy, you crack your knuckles, you're going to get arthritis. I just pull up my phone and I just Google, like, wait a minute, what are you talking about, mom? It says right here that's not true. Now, not that I would ever do that to my mother because I want to live.
You value your life.
Yes, exactly. But in the coldness of the, darkness of the night, would you go ahead and look it up, maybe?
I don't want you to do that now.
Now I really want
you to do that.
You will never see
I just want to see the react. I want to find out what the reaction is.
There's a little melancholy to me about this. Like, it's kind of gone now. That doesn't exist anymore.
But wait. We talked about earlier about the misinformation out there on the internet. She can just look up three other sources that prove her point.
Ain't that the sad truth?
Oh, no.
Ain't that the sad truth?
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, the Maloff house will not be the same.
It's going to be weird there.
It's going to be weirder than usual.
Yes.
Weirder than usual.
We will take a break. Come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, as we go into our final break. Perfect song. What a song to play, huh?
Yeah.
That works out really good.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Seth is so proud of himself right now.
Yes.
Nothing to do with it. Another Minnesota band, by the way. You got to throw that out there.
Nice. That he's proud of. Let's get a That Ain't Right story in real quick. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on this one. It's just a little ironic, a little crazy, and a little mad, a little sad. It gets you a little mad, maybe. Most porch pirates will lurk around and run up to the porch and steal the package and all that because they're cowards and all that. Well, a man in Georgia named Robin Swanger stole a neighbor's porch from the front yard.
Wait,
the whole porch.
What? Took the whole porch?
He took the whole dang porch.
What?
It isn't quite what it sounds like, though. The property owner had removed the home from the lot and had left the porch behind.
Oh,
but it wasn't up for grabs. The porch was on private property and no trespassing signs were up and about.
Meaning that you're not supposed to be there, right?
It was large, about 8 feet by 10 feet, and was valued at $3,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of wood.
How did he move it?
As the cops were closing in on Robin, the police were called to his home on allegations of domestic abuse. So obviously this guy is a piece of trash.
Oh.
So not only that, but yeah, he's got all these other things on. But I'm with you, Seth. I would have one question for him of how this happened.
How did he get it out of there? I'm curious,
It does not tell us in the story.
No,
it does
bummer.
Not tell us, but, yeah.
Man, the most interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you.
I think we could use a palate cleanser.
Yes.
I think we could use one.
Yeah.
And we're going local for this, everybody. We'll get to some real local stories in a moment. But first, millions of pounds of plastic are polluting the Great Lakes, and some students are working to clean it up.
Ooh.
This article comes to us from Wisconsin Public Radio. A shout out to Daniela Kading, does some great reporting for them. You can find this article premiered yesterday. UW Oshkosh students are using multiple tools to remove plastic from Lake Michigan.
Ooh.
4 days a week since June, University of Wisconsin Oshkosh students Noah Ryan and Evan Wrinkle have given a have taken a boat they affectionately referred to as the Scraggly Scallywag.
That's a great name.
Nice.
To remove marine debris from the waters along Lake Michigan. They set out in the university's marine debris migration boat to these areas to clean them up.
Very cool.
Over this summer, awesome. University staff and students estimate that they have collected anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 pounds of debris and plastic pollution.
That's 3 tons. Wow.
Wow.
Ryan said it seems clear that some materials were dumped intentionally, like gigantic tires ranging from 300 to 600 pounds and that.
Man.
We got to quit this, people. Nearly 22 million pounds of plastic enters the Great Lakes each year, according to the 2017 study.
Wow.
So these kids decided to do something about it.
Very cool.
This younger generation is not waiting for us people. They are good. They are taking over. They are going to get things done because they realize they cannot afford to wait.
Right, right.
No. And this is their home. I mean, it's matter of us that it's ours too, but apparently to some people it doesn't.
Right.
Now, that was one group.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had a whole bunch of people doing this. How quick and easy it would be to finish this.
I also appreciate them bringing attention to this. Not that we should be able to do both at the same time. We can talk about the plastic in our oceans and also talk about the plastic in our Great Lakes as well. That doesn't get talked about as much, though, the lakes part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, what's going on with our lakes is even more of a deterrent. When you talk about PFAS, when you talk about the
drinking water,
that's our largest source of fresh water.
Yeah,
and the laid backness that we've had as a society for so long of, well, I'm just going to dump my oil in this ditch, you know, for so long that was just a common thing, and not realizing. You're an idiot. You're an idiot for doing that. And that's people that I'm related to I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the people do this kind of stuff in my lifetime. I'm not calling anybody out that I wouldn't do in person, and I'm not even and I'm not saying that I'm perfect when it comes to this stuff and everything. But even I,
because
certain things you don't do.
Right, because it's not even if it's not the, you know, protect the place where we live, it's going to affect you personally. It's going to contaminate your drinking water. It's going to, why are you so dumb to realize that?
Where is your well? Underground.
Yeah.
Where do you think that oil is going to go?
Yep.
Underground.
Into the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only so much get filtered through the sand.
That's right.
Oil is not one of those things.
Nope.
It's let's get to some other good stuff here. Mm-hmm. It's Wednesday. We all know what that means here in Rapids.
Bingo.
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 Bingo. Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693. Join them as their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. They're again at 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Go there, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're doing that, enjoy not only putting back into your community, but the great atmosphere and people of the Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
Again, one more time, guys. Bingo!
Bingo! Oh, yeah.
Got some other great stuff going on with our Humane Society, Seth.
We do. It's been extended through the end of August. So we've got a week and a half, or about a week left, I should say, of the
Shoe Them the Love.
Shoe Us the Love.
Yeah, Mel. Yeah.
The Southwood County Humane Society. Donate your gently worn, used, or new shoes today. You can drop them off at the Humane Society. You can drop off here. We're still taking them as well, everyone. We can drop them off there, give them to Madison. Stay tuned tomorrow because we've got Pet of the Week. Sorry, James, I had to put that in there.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
If you have any questions, go ahead and call the Southwood County Humane Society, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. Or go to their website at cwchs.com.
Yeah. Encourage people to do that. Encourage
or SWCHS, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got it. and the City of Wisconsin Rapids is seeking input on their community dog park. You have now until September 1st at noon to enter it at wirapids.org/dogpark or go to Witter Park Aquatic Center. Go to the Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Recs Department.
There you go.
Southwood County Humane Society, McMillan Memorial Library, Bow Wow Meow, or you can call up on the show here and bring us your names. Next week, let's say Monday next week.
Okay.
I have a couple of names that I have come up with, and I'm going to throw them out there.
Unveiling.
And we'll have all of us vote on which ones I should submit. Which one? I've got three. I'm only going to submit one.
All right.
So we'll decide which one out of those three. We'll have some fun with this, and we have been having fun with it. Shout out to everybody that has suggested a name and gotten thrown in their hat in the ring with this.
Yeah.
Been a lot of fun.
Good stuff.
Good stuff coming up today on Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us for it. It's going to be a good one. In part one, we're going to speak with Human Services Director Brandon Verwink. He's in place for Lance Plimmel, who can't join us this week. A shout out to Lance, and thanks so much for setting up the interview with
that.
Yeah,
nice. Good.
And in part two, Callie Johnson, where he's going to talk with us from the ODC. Looking forward to that.
Cool.
A couple of great conversations. Mm-hmm. Meet us at the fair, everybody.
We'll be there at the fair.
Mm-hmm. I will be there today from 2 to 5.
I will
come down. Make sure that you cover your skin with sunscreen and you wear a hat, sunglasses, lots of water.
Just to show you once again how much smarter I am than Melissa, I'm going tomorrow night from 5 to 8 when it's cooler out. So
you're just going from 5 to 8 tomorrow because I'm going to be there from 11 to 5 tomorrow.
We can't work together.
We don't have to.
We don't have to work together. No.
Nope.
Go there and make sure that they're separate and mention, you know, check out the truth booth, mention that you heard us talking about this, get yourself a new shirt with the new logos on it, and have fun and stay cool out there, everybody. Look out for our seniors, look out for those, your furry friends.
Yeah.
Stay cool out there, everyone. And especially you two. Melissa, Seth, enjoy your day, okay?
I'm always cool.
Yep. We're going out on that. Have a great day, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.